Hi, welcome to WebCamps TV. I'm your host, Brady Gaster, and today we're here with Walter Oliver. He is a PM on the WebMatrix team, and you've met a lot of the other PMs on the WebMatrix team throughout this week. We've talked about how WebMatrix can do PHP, how it can do Node.js, obviously it can do .NET. We've talked about all the different features available, and one of the themes that you've heard come up throughout the week is that there's an extension for that on the TV. There's a URL, extensions.webmatrix.com, and that's where you can go to learn about the extensions that are available and find out from the documentation how you can write your own extensions. And we're going to learn more about that today from Walter. So right. I'll kind of turn it over to him and let him get started.
Well, Brady, thank you very much.
No problem.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about extensions. Now, this is a key feature of WebMatrix 2. Mm-hmm. The reason why it came to be is because through our release of WebMatrix 1, we got lots of great ideas from developers saying, hey, how about this feature? Hey, how about this other feature? Mm-hmm. Obviously, we couldn't get all of those things into a single place for one release. So what we did is that we took some of those ideas, we built them in, of course, as requirements that were priority one, and then we made the application extensible. So there is a set of interfaces that people can use to take advantage of WebMatrix. So they can create their own features and make it whatever they want it to be.
Nice.
And that way, you know, these great ideas can still be done.
If you don't have time to build it, just make an extension model so that people can add to it. It's a good idea.
That's exactly right.
So this is the GUI that we've been seeing all week here. I can see that we have a lot of Node stuff on here. Is that
right? So these links you see here with the icon in particular, these are done through extensibility. Actually, the template that gets installed on this creates these links and icons, and these, of course, are resources to learn about Node.js, to find out what the communities are, to get more information about various things about the technology. Mm-hmm. You can create extensions that actually add these links into it. Nice. There are other things you can add, of course, to through extensions. You can add links to the ribbon bar, for example. Mm-hmm. You can play with the files in your site. You can go browse through the entire tree. You can actually get to the information in the files. You can get to the properties. Again, you can add items in the ribbon that will make sense. You can add items in the context menus. You could even go and create one of these, a contextual ribbon tab. And those are actually one thing that I like to see happening, because as you can see, if everybody's adding a button here, it gets quite crowded. So when it makes sense, creating one of these tabs is actually very, very, very good.
That's
so
nice.
So having all of these things makes it so that you can create some very interesting extensions.
Right.
We're going to see sort of those right now. But
cool.
Yeah.
One of the ones we saw was the iPhone emulator, and then obviously the
great.
The Windows Phone emulator, that's another one.
You guessed
one.
It.
Yeah,
you guessed it. I do have that one. It is, as you can see in this menu here, what it does is that it lets you see how your site will look like in iPhone. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have others as well. You can imagine that we're going to want to have folks create others' devices. Say, for example, right now we have Windows, we have iPhone, we have iPad, for example, like here, you can see it. But we don't have Android. Why not create one of those devices? And of course, we know that there are other devices out there that we can probably take advantage of and see how things look in those things. Mm-hmm. So that's one kind of extension that you can write. And we look forward to seeing more of these emulators. Another kind of extensions you can write are extensions that had to do with productivity, right? With developer productivity. For example, I have one installed right now. Let me just show a little bit here in my extension in my gallery. It's called, I have it installed here, OrangeBit Compiler. I don't know if you guys saw this before, but it's actually a very nice application. It lets you do some things, like, for example, you guys may be familiarized with LESS and CSS. So we have these two files right now. One is a LESS file, and one is a style CSS file. This one helps define the variables for this one. So if you, for example, we have defined this variable called background, which has this particular color, And we say that for the HTML element here, we're going to assign that variable to the background color of it. That means that if I, whatever value I change here, I should see a change here. In this case, we see it that it's the same one. But how about we change it to see what happens? Let's say we want to do 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. And we save it. Already changed the other file. It's telling me to reload it. I said, yes, reload. I come back, and there it is. Nice. It happens. So that's you can absolutely see how you can actually get into some very interesting productivity-like code writing type of extensions. For example, you can think in terms of JavaScript optimizers or analyzers. So go through and see how you can actually improve your code or what parts of your code can be changed. There are lots of great practices about JavaScript, for example, out there. And there are a few applications that actually do things like that. There's no reason why we're going to have an extension that can be plugged into WebMetrics and add all that functionality. So that's very interesting.
I think one we've seen in almost all the other shows was the snippet extension. So people can add their own snippets and whatnot.
Exactly. And that's a good example of showing how you can copy things from the editor, put it in the snippets, and use it in different other places. That's an interesting. We're going to do something like that as we get along with our demonstration. Another type of extension that we think are great is our extensions that link your work, WebMetrics, with services outside.
Okay.
A good example is Azure, for example. Imagine that you have an extension that allows you to, when you right-click here, there is an item that says backup site to Azure. You click that, and pop up a dialog that says, okay, enter your credentials for the blob, and it magically takes all your file, the database, and store it in Azure right there. Or it's something common like Dropbox, right? It's used quite often. You can right-click a folder, for example, say drop it in Dropbox or send it to Dropbox, and it automatically goes into your Dropbox, and your friends can get it. Some services like the social part of it, I think, is really cool. For example, imagine that I spend 2 weeks writing my personal website or my customer website, regardless, it doesn't really matter. And I'm very proud of it, right? I finally publish it. And yes, it's published. I got my test URL. And I want to show people. How about I have a little link, a little button here that will say that I can click, and it will let me tweet my URL with a comment from me to all my friends.
That'd be good.
That's perfectly doable.
That'd be awesome.
You can do the same for Facebook as well. There's no reason you can have your URL with a comment from you to post it to your friends' walls. So those things are things that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
I'm thinking about the Visual Studio Achievements extension for Visual Studio. We can have like a WebMetrics achievement and have a little network set up.
Correct.
As you learn things about WebMetrics, you have your own achievement.
That's exactly right.
One big achievement I can think of would be like actually writing my own extension. Is it complicated? I mean,
Well, let's talk about that. I'm happy you asked me. It's not, and I'm going to show you why. Actually, let me start by closing. WebMetrics, well, we started with this screen right here. If you come to documentation, one of the items that you'll find in the menu is how to create extensions. Click on that, and there is an article. It talks about how you go about creating extensions. There is an extension kit. This extension kit contains a Visual Studio template that you can install in your Visual Studio, and from there, you can create projects for extensions.
Cool.
So it makes it very simple. It also has a little file with all the APIs documented. The APIs, by the way, are going into MSDN. They're not there yet, but they will be pretty soon. And it lets you get started very quickly. This document basically tells you what you find in there and how you go about doing it. For example, here's what we're going to be doing and what happened. So having said all this, we can get down to do it example. So I have Visual Studio here. I'm going to just do exactly what I just mentioned. I'm going to use my template and I have it right here.
Nice.
So, okay, so it has a web metrics extension 12. That means that I've done a few extensions.
Right. I've been counting up.
So I click OK. Having selected this, I click OK. And there it is. There is, on my right-hand side, there is a solution. It has all the files. The main file, of course, is the web metrics extension.cs. We're going to look into that very quickly. All the code we're going to be writing is right in there. This text file just tells you a little bit about what you need to do to get this working on your debugger. My machine is a 64-bit machine, so I'm going to grab the directory for 64 machine where web metrics is. And I'm going to go to the project and go to the properties, debug, and I'm going to make sure that web metrics is the executable that gets called whenever we have whenever I want to run this extension. So
it'll basically fire up web metrics, bring in your extension,
exactly,
and just start
right.
running it.
Exactly right.
Awesome.
Exactly right. So let me close this very quickly. Open this. We're gonna look at this in more detail before, but this item right here, remember the names, my button and my group. We're going to see that in a second. What that means, and look at this, it says ribbon group.
Mm-hmm.
So you can guess that there will be a group. Inside of it, there will be a button, and it's going to show up in the ribbon, right?
Nice.
So if I simply compile this extension, remember, I haven't written in a single line of code so far. Let me see. Build solution and run it. We should see web metrics is loading right now. And again, we should see a little button coming up on the ribbon. And when I press that button, let me open one of the projects, say my personal site. All right, there is the button.
Nice.
When I press that button, it just shows a dialog, stock dialog, and it says, do you want to see your site launch in a browser? You say, OK. Then the browser comes up, and there is your site.
Awesome.
So that's it. You know, you got out of the box. You have an extension to play with. From that point on, you get your APIs. You start looking to the different things for what that is that you want to do, and have fun with it. So I guess the next thing will be to try to do something more interesting. Right.
Right. Right. I'm on pins and needles. I can't wait to see.
Yeah. And you mentioned something about using the editor. Some mm-hmm. some of the extensions or some of the features you saw before had mm-hmm. to do with that. So why don't we write something like that? Coming here back to my Visual Studio, I haven't changed anything so far. So one of the things I'm going to do right away. So the extension I'm planning to write is one where, imagine the scenario, you are looking at code. Mm-hmm. Probably it's not your code. It's mm-hmm. probably something you downloaded from the web.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things in there that you are not quite familiar with. And normally when we see those things, we highlight it, copy and paste it, go to either Bing or Google, or any one of the dev communities that we know of, enter that in there, search for it, and find some information about it.
Mm-hmm.
MSDN is actually something that you look for a lot of the Microsoft mm-hmm. APIs into. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to write an extension that does that, but you only need to highlight and click.
Nice.
So why don't we do that? Let's go ahead and do that. Say my group will be something like dev sites. And my button will be something like search. So search in dev sites. All right, I save that. Now, I need one of the things that you see that has been created right here is a ribbon group. I need to get a handle of that group. So I'm going to take it out of there. And I'm going to put it in one of my properties, which I haven't declared yet. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to use that property group, and I'm going to substitute that value right here. All right, so we got that. Now what we need to do is to declare this guy. And we say that this guy was a ribbon group. So that should be easy. We say private ribbon, this ribbon group. Yes, we have it right here.
Mm-hmm.
And is _group. All right. I don't have my glasses with me right now. So. Call me out when you see misspells there. All right, so I have my group. Mm-hmm. I have a reference to it. I'm creating it in this particular function. Again, this is a very important function, initialize. Mm-hmm. The initialize function gets called as soon as your extension is loaded, and it's the only chance that you have to stick things into the ribbon or to stick things into the dashboard
or the menus or whatever else.
Okay. The menus or whatever else, you can play with that.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But yes,
okay.
you can insert them here as well.
Nice.
All right. So once you have this. One thing that we want is that we don't want this particular button, this particular group, to show up in any other workspace that is not the editor workspace, because it's the only place where it makes sense, right?
Right.
So what we do is that we say a group. All right. Visibility is visible right here. We say, well, we want only when it is on the work group. So okay. What we're going to use is this little variable. One of the parameters is the iWebMetrics host. This is the main interface to WebMetrics. And you use this any time that you want to do, or most of the time that you want to do something with WebMetrics. So one of the things is a workspace. So I want to get that, right? But I want to see is I editor workspace, right? If so, I'm going to set the visibility to the right value.
Okay.
Correct. So that's perfect. In my initialization, that's going to be set right. But what happened when the user changes workspaces? I need to capture the event, okay. Right? So to capture the event, we need to have a handle for it. And again, we use our WebMetrics host. And it should have a handle. Change workspace event. Yep. So here's where we insert our. There you have it.
Cool.
Let me close this a little bit. So this is a function that we need to define. It picked up that ugly name just because I have an ugly name for a variable.
Right.
So we leave it like that. And we call it, normally these things are private void. And the first parameter normally is the object parameter, represents the sender. And the second parameter is what actually we care about in this case, which is the workspace change event arguments. So we take that. And the only thing that we care about doing here is set the visibility for this guy. So we come back to this. Not quite the same way, but very close. Equivalent the same. So we say E dot new workspace.
Okay.
It's a new workspace, and we ask the same question. Right? Yeah. Is that it?
Okay.
And so from now on, whenever you change workspaces, the right is going to be visible or not visible. So that's exactly what we wanted to do. Now, the other part is what happened if you press the button, actually.
Mm-hmm.
At that point is when we want to do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to access the editor. We want to see what was selected. We want to take that and go do the search. So we're going to do several things for that. First of all, we don't need this dialog thing that we were showing in the template. We can get rid of that. And we can come here and start doing some interesting things. The process one, we can leave there because is something that we can reduce quickly. Oh, one thing. We talk about the editor, right? We want to use the editor. So we need to actually make sure that we are referencing the editor namespace.
Okay.
It's part of our WebMetrics extensibility. So we come back to our handler here, and we say the very first thing that we need to do is to get a handle of the editor workspace itself. Editor, let's call it workspace, equal, and we use our friend WebMetrics host dot workspace, right,
mm-hmm.
as editor workspace, right, and we got our editor workspace variable. Now, the next one that we need to do is at this point, we had the workspace editor in our hands. Now we need to get the particular editor, the window itself, so that we can go in and see what is selected, right? Okay. So we go ahead and do that. We say, we call it editor, and equals to editor workspace that we just created. This is what it allows us to do. And we say current editor. All right, so having done this, the next step is use the services that the editor has to get to the text inside the window. And so we're gonna call it selector. And in there, we're gonna have our editor. So our editor, let us get a hold of a service provider. The service provider will let us get a service. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we want is type of and it is the I'm editor selection. That's the service we want. Right?
I guess that service provides the ability for you to know what's selected in
exactly
the editor.
Exactly right.
Awesome.
Yeah, it gets you exactly to that. You got it. So what this means is that now we can go ahead and declare an stream variable that will hold our selected text. Nice. We call it selected text. And this is equal to, guess what, our selector. And one of its property is very handy, is selected text.
That's fantastic.
So we had there. Now, realize I'm writing this for purposes of the demo. I'm not checking that I'm getting the right references
right.
or no values or anything like that. You should
right.
be doing all those things. This is just for demo purposes. Now, we got the stream we want. Now we can go ahead and start doing searches, right? And this part, what we do is say, how about we do searches in 2 or 3 sites at the same time, right?
Right.
It doesn't cost, just a click away, right?
Right.
So we say the first one can be social dot msdn. And by the way, I'm going to have to try to remember how that msdn.microsoft.com. And the parameters it uses, I believe, is search. And in there, of course, you know, Microsoft has so many languages. We had to specify that we are in English US
right.
for this particular search that we're doing. And then the parameters. And the first parameter is query. And that will be equal to something. And that's something. I have a little bit more quotes that I need. That will be our selected text.
Nice.
And one thing, they had this at the very end because it tells them something to them that means nothing to me.
Right.
All right. So in here, in theory, we should tell the process here that it's an HTTP so it knows what to do.
Okay.
So having done this, we can go ahead and do something similar for, say, Codeplex. I love Codeplex. It's a really neat place to go.
It is.
All right. So for that, we say .codeplex.com. They have a search service, and it's called site, and then search, please lowercase, and then the query. We don't need the English part of it. The parameter, and then this is the query, select the text, and they also use that little thing there. All right, so let's do something similar now to another one that I love. It's a Stack Overflow.
Okay.
All right, let's do something there. Stack Overflow, and I think this is a simpler parameter, I believe. And we don't need our little thing at the end.
You can do stackoverflow.com.
Yes, how about that?
Yeah.
Good catch. Thank you very much.
No problem.
So we need to do a couple more things. Is search.
Cool.
The service. Search and the parameter is that. All right, perfect. So if everything is right and no errors are there, we should be able to compile this. Again, we're going to see the same start button, right, but this time shouldn't show in my site workspace. It should only show in my editor workspace.
Nice.
So we'll do that next. Let's first compile it. Make sure that there's nothing wrong about it. It's
okay.
Build success. Now we run it. And we should see web metrics coming up. And the very first thing that you should notice, I hope, is that we don't see that button. All right, so my sites. Let's open this with a simple site. Simple, but has a lot of functionality right in there to have fun with. Oh, there is no button there.
So far, so good.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
So if I go to the files workspace, I think I should see the button right there, right?
Nice.
There is a button, dev site search. So if I, one of the things, you know, we can open any of these files. One of the files that I know many people has questions about often is the web.config file. Mm-hmm. It's funny how that works. It has nothing to do with code, but it's XML, and it has to do with a lot of the configuration, mm-hmm, a lot of the services that you put into your service, into your site. And you look through it, you'll find things, interesting things. Say, for example, .NET OpenAuth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are very few things more interesting than that nowadays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially
mm-hmm
in our social sites and mm-hmm social applications. So let's say I selected that. I say search. And I believe I got something here in Codeplex, yes, talking about .NET OpenAuth.
Nice.
And it has projects about it. OpenID, that's exactly what .NET OpenAuth is about. This one is our MSDN, and it's showing us that OpenID authentication with ASP.NET, MVC3, .NET OpenAuth. That's exactly what that is. So we can learn more about that and see how it's configuring our web config. And here's Stack Overflow.
Nice.
And again, hey, .NET OpenAuth and Facebook.
Nice.
Now it kind of gives a clue of what you can actually do with it. It's very, 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 very fun. So that's it, right?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So in about 10 lines of code, you've automated the habit that most programmers have to do a couple times a day. You've searched the main mm-hmm sites that we're probably going to go out there and search. All mm-hmm you have to do is select what they want, mm-hmm, hit the search button, and off they go.
Yeah, it's just a neat little thing. I wouldn't say it's something that I will go on public
right
in the extension gallery, but it's
right
a good example to show people what they can do. They can
nice
actually do far more powerful things than just that.
Nice.
Other things that they can actually do is that, for example, we have this area here, people can actually add new consoles in there, new windows in here for whatever outputs they need for the particular extensions they're writing. They can create different type of buttons. For example, we have right now these two buttons. These are toggle buttons. You can actually create those. Let me add one that I like because it shows a lot about what you can do with the editor. And that's I don't know if you've seen it in some other videos. Is a color theme manager?
No.
No?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, let's go ahead and install that. So once you click once, you know, it shows you details about it, who wrote it, and who part of the community was involved, and where to find more things. I just set the EULA for it. And there is a notification band that tells you right here that it was installed successful,
okay,
and that it's ready to go, right? So if you look, we got a brand new button right there.
Awesome.
Yeah, so if I click on it.
That's a spin button, nice.
Yeah, it's a split button, right. And so if you notice, right here has different icons, so it's a split button, but it's a particular type of split button. It's a menu split button.
Right.
You can create gallery split buttons. So you can actually get some of those very fancy little metrics with different colors
nice
and icons, and they indicate different things, and you select one. They're very exciting
nice
controls that you can get into the ribbon. So let's get the themes that are online. Oh, so you see this Studio Style themes.
Yeah.
So this is something that I believe Visual Studio also has access
mm-hmm
to.
Mm-hmm.
From here, you can select different styles that you find interesting. It's a long list of them, so it's loading a lot of them. So let's pick this one. It's the Wacker Road Ink.
Mm-hmm.
Say okay.
Wow.
Oh, there you have it. So there is a lot of customization
awesome
that you can do with this.
Awesome.
And you can get, again, access to all of these things through our website. Now, why don't we do something? Why don't we actually upload the demo that I have. I'm sure that my manager is not going to like to see this not very nice answer, extensions in the gallery, but also. All right. So let's go and upload this. We have it in our Visual Studio projects, right? Yeah, it's right there. Projects. And what's the number 12? And let's go to where the bean is. OK, this is the guy that we wrote. Not a very attractive name. I wasn't looking for one at this point. I say upload. I put some ID. I don't have my glasses here, but I'll name that demo version 1.0, title demo video. I'll just say with search. And it does searches. Author Walter O, so nobody else gets blamed. I say, well, yes, I have this in some project someplace, and I do have a license. Yeah, blah, blah. Cool. I say demo for a tag. I could add a particular icon if I wanted. I don't know if I have good icons here. I'm afraid of opening my pictures folder. You never know what's going to come up.
Oh, that's perfect. Robot.
That one. All right, so let's say submit.
Because it does a robotic search for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of automate things a little
right,
bit.
Right, right. Yeah.
So there it is.
Oh, wow.
Now I can see the details. It's my little icon, all this information I said, and here's instructions on how you can get to it. And of course, I'm the owner, so I can edit, I can add more owners, I can delete it if I want, which I'm going to be doing very soon. Now, the cool thing about it is if I bring up my gallery game, oh, there.
Nice.
There it is. And I can install it, but I already have it installed, right. So I don't need to.
That's fantastic.
All right. So you can not only do cool things to enjoy yourself there or with your friends, but you can also make it available to the world.
Awesome.
To everybody around the world who may actually enjoy getting all these features. So
that's awesome.
That's it.
That's awesome. I was really looking forward to seeing how to do this. As you've seen throughout the week, I think at one point Faith created a WordPress blog, and when she did that, she pointed out how WordPress, in their extension, they've kind of done some stuff with WebMatrix. And then obviously the different project templates like Node, that's going to throw in a couple of extra buttons.
Very nice.
Some links to different community sites. And I've been wondering the whole time, as we've progressed through the week, I'm sure you've been wondering as well, when they keep talking about these extensions, how are we going to build these extensions? And now you know. And if you're like me, you're probably going to go and write a few right now just to have some fun. But it's nice because you can help take WebMatrix to the next level and just add features yourself.
That's exactly right.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Awesome. Well, this has been great. Do you have anything else you want to throw out there?
Thank you very much, Brady. I really appreciate you gave us this time. It's been awesome. I know that the other PMs have been very happy. I'm very excited about this particular feature, extensibility. Sparks goes all over the place every time you start thinking about the different things you could do.
Oh, yeah.
And so I hope that folks like it and that they take on it and they can go to the extensions.webmetrics.com site and get information about how to write these extensions.
Awesome. Remember that, extensions.webmetrics.com. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
And as usual, thank you for your time. I hope you go out and build some extensions tonight. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.